We are going to talk about Wisconsin bridges in this half hour, including the recently closed Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge in Green Bay. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 1st. We have with us the Secretary of the Wisconsin DOT, who will answer your questions and respond to your concerns. And we wonder, have you been inconvenienced by the closure of the Leo Frigo Bridge in Green Bay? Are you concerned about other bridges in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mark Gottlieb. He's the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So tell us what we know so far about what happened on the Leo Frigo Bridge.
Well, of course, what happened was last Wednesday, early in the morning, we had a motorist report that, you know, they observed a sag in the bridge. The Green Bay Police Department was really on top of it. They looked at the situation, and then we closed the bridge, and we immediately started into our investigation. What we have found so far is this. One of the support piers for the bridge on the east side of the Fox River, the bridge carries I-43 over the Fox River in Green Bay, one of the support piers on the east side of the bridge had settled roughly 2 feet. The good thing that we know as of our investigation now is that, number one, that pier has not settled any more than it did originally, so it has been stable since the original settlement. And we also know that none of the other piers on the bridge that we've looked at the elevations of have settled. So we have a fairly stable situation out there. What we've been doing since the weekend is, you know, getting pretty heavily into an investigation to try and determine what the cause of the settlement was. We're looking at the soil condition around that pier and the soil condition around other piers, a geotechnical investigation, soil borings, and so forth. We'll be looking at, we've already started to excavate and look at some of the steel pilings that support the pier. The piers are those big concrete structures that hold up the bridge deck. Underneath each of those piers, in the case of this particular pier, there's 40 steel piles that go over 100 feet down into the ground, and they support the pier. So we will be looking at the condition of those piles to see if, you know, perhaps they've been damaged or corroded or something like that. And then we're also looking at the structure above that the pier supports, particularly where it sagged a little bit, to see if the girders that support that deck or other elements structurally have been damaged. So those are the three things we're looking at, both in the area of this pier and around in the adjacent areas. But again, the good news at this point is that you know, that the situation is stable and it has not moved more since last Wednesday when the original incident was reported.
So is there any, do you have any idea how long this might take?
Well, I think the investigation phase is going to take some time, Joy. You know, I would probably tend to measure it in weeks rather than days. But again, we have a lot of people out there, as many as, you know, we can practically use at any given time, and we've brought national experts in. Federal Highway Administration has been very helpful to us. So we're going to move as timely as we can and as quickly as we can, consistent with, you know, maintaining public safety out there and making sure that our crews that are working out there are safe as well. And I should point out, you know, with regard to traffic, and you mentioned in your setup to the piece about, you know, inconvenience and so forth, the bridge is obviously a big part of the Green Bay traffic network, and as the governor said, it's when he came up to Green Bay last week Wednesday, that it's an important part of the economy of northeastern Wisconsin. It carries about 40,000 vehicles a day, so we're certainly very aware of the inconvenience this is causing up there for motorists, and we're trying to do what we can in terms of how we've posted the detours. We've brought some additional what we call freeway service teams up there. We've started a new 511 website for people to look for alternative routes. So, you know, it's certainly been an inconvenience. I was up through Green Bay yesterday, and you can certainly tell that additional traffic on some of the other routes. But nonetheless, people seem to be, you know, adapting fairly well. So we appreciate the support we've gotten from the folks up in Green Bay.
Yeah, so Secretary Gottlieb, has this ever happened before on a bridge where a pier has settled like this? And the pier was on land, not in the water, right?
Right. I'm glad you brought that point up. The bridge, if you think about it, is really, you know, a number of different structures. And when you drive over, you see that massive arch that goes over the Fox River. The area that we have a concern about where this incident happened is not the river crossing or the central arch of the bridge. It's on one of the support piers on the east side. And actually, to answer your original question, this is something that's new to us. And when we talk to our colleagues at the Federal Highway Administration, I think they too as well think this is a fairly rare occurrence. Yep.
There was some maintenance work or some sort of work on the bridge within the past year. Is that right?
Yeah, we did actually a major redecking project on the bridge over the last couple of years. That's been completed. And again, I mean, we'll be looking at certainly whether anything related to that project might have played some role in this incident. We don't have any reason to believe that right now, but certainly something that we'll be looking at.
Yeah, do we know if any other bridges could have this same kind of problem?
Well, again, you know, this is an incident that took place with something that happened, you know, below the ground in an area that can't be regularly inspected. So, as I said, it's a very rare circumstance what happened, and we're going to do our best to figure out what the cause of it was, and if that investigation leads us to, you know, doing other types of investigations, we'll certainly do that.
Well, we actually set up this interview late last week, and we didn't know that the federal government was going to be in a partial shutdown this morning. Does that affect? You mentioned it's an interstate highway, and that some federal highway safety folks were aiding in the investigation. Does this affect the investigation at all?
Great question. Actually, it does not. We've verified that the folks that are working with us from Federal Highways will not be subject to being furloughed during the shutdown. So we don't see the shutdown as impacting our investigation.
Okay. Well, we will talk more about the shutdown coming up after 7:30 with a political scientist. And we will continue talking with Mark Gottlieb, the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, about this Leo Frigo Memorial Bridge closure and investigation. And we'll also talk about a report that was released recently, a couple of months ago, or no, it was in September, that found 60 Wisconsin bridges classified as structurally deficient. And we will talk about what that means coming up in just a moment. And we welcome your questions and your concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about bridges in Wisconsin, including the Leo Frigo Bridge in Green Bay, with Mark Gottlieb. He is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have a question from Ed on Facebook who writes, "This bridge is anchored on limestone. According to our geologist son, it is quite possible that there was an under-the-surface cave or some serious cavitation under the pier. Do you have geologists on the site also or just engineers?"
No, we have geotechnical experts on the project, and we actually have one of the leading national forensic bridge firms that looks at forensically at, you know, the reasons for failures or problems with bridges. And certainly, again, the gentleman's correct. I mean, we're way too early to start to speculate until our investigation is done about what the cause is. But certainly, those pilings go, as I said, over 100 feet down into the ground. They may go all the way to bedrock, or sometimes they don't all the way go to bedrock. But, you know, whether or not there is some shifting event or else some other damage to those piles, those are among the things that we're looking at. But again, it's way too early to speculate.
John in Richland Center is with us. Hello, John.
Hi. I was told that they will not let a dog run across that bridge because it wiggles too much.
Well,
Secretary Gottlieb?
Sure. I don't know if the gentleman's referring to now since the bridge has been closed. We don't want anybody up on the bridge. Just obviously public safety is our number one concern. Again, as I said, the bridge has been stable since the original settlement. It is not moving, and the original settlement was there, but we've been watching those piers and monitoring them. They are not settling any further. So, but again, public safety is the number one thing that we're looking at here. So if there's no reason for people that are not, you know, involved with our investigation to be near the bridge or on the bridge or under the bridge, there's no reason for them to be there, and they shouldn't be there.
So let's talk a little bit about this report that came out in September. It was the most recent national bridge inventory. It found that 60 Wisconsin bridges were classified as both fracture critical and structurally deficient. What does this mean?
Well, fracture critical simply means that, there is a feature of the bridge. Sometimes it's usually arch bridges or truss bridges, where if there was one critical feature of the bridge that failed, then you could have a bigger failure of the bridge. And if a fracture were to occur, a portion of the bridge could collapse or be unsafe to carry the travel public. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, we use or construct fracture critical bridges, but the simple fact of a bridge being fracture critical does not mean it's unsafe. Similarly, with structurally deficient bridges, structurally deficient is a term that we have a very rigorous program. It's federally required of inspecting all of our bridges. We inspect all of our bridges every 2 years at the minimum, and as we inspect those bridges, if we find elements of deterioration in them, those elements can cause the bridge to be structurally deficient. But that doesn't mean the bridge is unsafe. And if we do have elements that are that significant, then we might obviously close a bridge if it were unsafe, or we might post it for a lower weight limit than it normally would carry, or something like that. But we had, as you mentioned, 60. We have 64 bridges in the state that are structurally deficient and fracture critical. Again, that doesn't mean that they're unsafe for the traveling public. They're regularly inspected. And I should point out also that when we program our dollars for, maintain the state's transportation system, we give the highest priority to making sure that we have safe bridges. We rank higher than most states in terms of 97% of our bridges are rated fair or above. We have 8% deficient bridges, which is below the national average. But still, we pay a lot of attention to this, and we manage it extremely well, and those bridges are the ones that get the priority investment of our dollars. For example, you mentioned the 64 fracture critical and structurally deficient bridges. Of those 64, 24 are either under repair, rehabilitation, or replacement right now, or they're currently scheduled or programmed for some type of a replacement or some sort of rehabilitation. So we pay very close attention to it.
And you do not have plans, though, to repair 27 of the bridges on the list, including two in Milwaukee. Why is that?
Well, as I said, if the bridges are safe and we're monitoring them on a regular basis, and some of these bridges are not under our jurisdiction, they're under the jurisdiction mm-hmm. of local units of government, so the ultimate decision of what to do with those bridges would be up to those local units of government.
Our next caller is Stephen in Green Bay. Hey, Stephen, how's it going in Green Bay?
Well, I didn't go by it yesterday, but I think I saw it a few days ago, and it's quite a sight to see that. One of the things I'd like to offer to the gentleman here, and maybe he probably already knows, but I was thinking that the Great Lakes has dropped so precipitously in the last several years, the water level is so low, and that's got to be an enormous amount of pressure that water pushes down on the ground. Is there a fact that way down deep under that those big enormous pressures have receded somewhat and have allowed the piers to sink?
Again, I suppose that's speculation too, but is that something that would be investigated, Secretary Gottlieb?
Sure. As I said, the pilings beneath the piers extend over 100 feet below ground, and we have started to mobilize to do some deep soil borings to look at subsurface conditions way down below, and also we'll be doing some excavation as well.
Now let's go to Mike in Minboro. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. Got two questions. First, observation. Minnesota DOT had a similar situation back in the 70s, I believe it was at Red Wing, where a pier in the Mississippi River crossing was on 20 feet. And they actually rewarded the young high schooler that discovered that and reported it with a full old scholarship. And that second question is, what are the state reimbursing local government for at Green Bay for all the extra road and wear and tear?
Mm-hmm. Well, with regard to reimbursements and funding for the project, again, it's a little bit premature on this, and we certainly don't have any estimates yet, but the governor did issue an emergency declaration last week, which is the first phase of the process of us obtaining, of course, this is an interstate highway, as you pointed out, the first phase of us obtaining, reimbursement from the federal government for these repairs, whatever it is that it turns out that we have to do for the investigation and the repairs. And if the project is found to be eligible, we believe we would be able to get 100% of our costs federally funded for the first 180 days of the investigation and repair. This is something that the state has, a process the state's used before. We used it on the Hone Bridge in 2000 and got federal reimbursement. So, again, it'll be after the investigation phase is completed that we know for sure if it's eligible. But if it is, we'll get our costs reimbursed, and also the local units of government who will have, obviously, extraordinary costs related to traffic control and detours and things like this. Those, my understanding is, those would be reimbursable as well.
Yeah, do you suspect the increased traffic on the side roads would cause more wear and tear than usual, and there would be the need for more dollars to fix those roads sooner than perhaps needed?
I think that effect, assuming that this doesn't last an inordinately long period of time, I think that effect would be fairly moderate. I mean, our main detour route is along US 41 and State Highway 172 and back to I-43, and those facilities are obviously really constructed to handle large amounts of traffic, so I don't see that as a big issue, but again, I think the locals' costs are going to be primarily in the area of, perhaps traffic control, and maybe they have obviously some police overtime and things of that nature.
Yeah. So how much money does the state have for bridge maintenance and repair?
Well, we don't necessarily have a separate appropriation because it's really hard for me to give you a direct answer to that question, because essentially we're replacing bridges as part of larger highway projects. For example, you take the Zoo Interchange project, a $1.7 billion project. I mean, there are literally dozens of structures in that interchange project that will be replaced as part of the interstate project. They're sort of all rolled up into the cost of that project. But we do have a local assistance program that's largely federally funded for bridges. We do a lot of bridge replacement, as I said, as part of the state highway program, which in total this year, the state highway program is about $1.8 billion. We have a large project going on in the Milwaukee area right now that's specific to a bridge under what we call the high-cost bridge program, where we're putting new deck and making some structural repairs and other things to the Hone Bridge on I-794 in Milwaukee. That project is over $230 million.
Are there future needs that you see for the state's bridges?
Well, as you and I think have talked previously on this program, we certainly have needs ongoing throughout the transportation system, bridges, highways, other transportation facilities and other modes as well. And this is just something that you own a large physical asset like our transportation network. It's obviously constantly deteriorating, and it's being used, and it needs to be kept up and replaced. And so we will have ongoing needs always for that, sure.
Is the Seminole Bridge across the Beltline in Madison, is that being replaced right now because trucks kept on smashing into it?
Well, that's certainly one of the main reasons there on the Seminole Bridge over the Beltline. It was a lower bridge. It had a lower clearance, and it, as you said, it was struck certainly too many times, and that was certainly one of the main reasons why we wanted to get it replaced.
So what do you think of, in our final moments here, the next steps in the investigation of the, I always called it the Tower Drive Bridge when
sure.
I lived in Green Bay, the Leo Frigo Bridge
right.
investigation?
Sure. As again, I mean, we're working out there every day basically from dawn to dusk pretty much, and we're, again, looking at the soils, we're looking at the structures, and we're looking at the pilings beneath the ground, and as I said, it could be, certainly a matter of weeks. I really hesitate to speculate in terms of we want to make sure that we're working safely, and we want to make sure that we're being very thorough, and that once we find out what the problem is out here, that we find out what's the full extent of the problem, and that we put together a plan to solve it. We're definitely going to repair this bridge and put it back into service, so we want to do it once and do it right so that we know that once we're done, the bridge will be there to serve the public for the rest of its useful life, which will be many decades to come.
Yeah. and the actual repair of the sag and whatever else, we could be talking years.
Again, I just hesitate to speculate because it would be pure speculation, but it's going to be a considerable length of time.
Yeah. You know, we have one more minute to go, and I know that there's a hearing at the state capitol today on a proposal to raise the speed limit to 70 miles per hour, I believe, mm-hmm. on some of the interstate or interstate-like highways in Wisconsin. Are you all for that?
Mm-hmm. We actually, Joy, we actually did an investigation and a study on this back in 2011. We believe that there are certainly significant parts, particularly on the freeway system and particularly on the rural interstate system, that have been designed for those speeds and that they could accommodate a 70-mile-per-hour speed limit safely. So, you know, we'll watch the progress of the legislation, but, you know, we certainly think there's a room for a change here that could be done and still protect traffic safety.
Good enough. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Mark Gottlieb, Department of Transportation Secretary. Thanks to Bill Martins, Christy Taylor, to Robin Sherry, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this program.